The doctrine of leaven. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. And before we begin our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to rebound if required or necessary, and that will ensure the filling of God the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for allowing us to meet, to study your holy word, and to grow in grace. In Christ's name, amen. We're up on the Christmas season, of course, and things are very hectic, but we will obviously get through this, and our custom here is we really don't stop for a special Christmas message because every day is Christmas. We treat every day alike, but we do, of course, celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And so we will start on that process with the doctrine of leaven, which is a short doctrine, but it starts out with a definition like all doctrines should. And that definition is of what is leaven. It's any substance such as yeast and is used to foment fermentation in liquid or a material substance like dough. The Greek word that's used is zume, Z-U-M-E. So that's what leaven is. It's a substance that it puffs up the dough and it also ferments a liquid. Point two, in the Passover under the Mosaic law, no leaven was to be used for the food or drink offerings because leaven was analogous to human good and evil works. And that's Exodus 12:8-15, Exodus 12:19-20, where we read, 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Now this, of course, speaks to the ritual. Now, you can have leaven in the house on other days, but on this special day, there was to be no leaven. And leaven is never used in terms of the any of the sacrifices or concepts with the food offerings. And in fact, we know when the Jews left captivity in Egypt, they were to eat unleavened bread. So leaven is something that puffs up something. It's used to puff up and to increase the size of something, but it stands for human good. God doesn't need your work to puff up or to do anything. He can do it all by himself. So the penalty here is shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. You're going to be kicked out if you engage in leaven because you basically are asserting that you can save yourself or that you don't need God to do anything. Point three, leaven defines religious apostasy in the tribulation, Matthew 13:33. And we're going to study religion, and we'll talk about this when we get to the doctrine of religion, but leaven is related to apostasy in the tribulational period. Point four, leaven stood for the mixing of philosophy with Bible doctrine by the Sadducees and the mixing of religion with Bible doctrine by the Pharisees. Mark 16:6-12, Mark 22:29-30, Mark 8:15, and Luke 12:1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees made up the two religious parties that ruled in the Sanhedrin. And the Pharisees were, I guess they'd be called the conservatives of our day. You can be saved or unsaved as a conservative. All conservatives in this country are not saved. And so the Pharisees believed in angels, which the Old Testament clearly teaches. They believed in the resurrection. And they would take the scripture and they would try to understand what the scripture was saying. And they and that's what they did. But of course, they were infected with the virus of religion. Paul called them a white-walled. He called them white-walled. Calling someone a wall in the days of the ancient world was an insult, because on the wall, if your house was built, you would have a wall, and if you were on the second story, you'd throw your garbage out on the wall, and all sorts of stuff would get on the wall. So when you call someone a wall, you're basically calling them an SOB. And when you call them a white or a whited wall, What they would do is they'd have their servants go out and paint the walls white. And so, you know, white indicates they're trying to cover up all this evil. And so on the outward, the wall looks great, but right behind that white paint is all sorts of evil. So the Sadducees didn't believe in the Bible. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were like you would have as agnostics today. They called themselves Jews, of course. They believed in the concept of certain things in Jewish tradition, but they didn't take the Old Testament literally at all. And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees were the two main governing bodies, and leaven was used to describe both of them because the Sadducees wanted to mix philosophy, philosophical things. And they say, well, the Bible really can't be a resurrection. There's no such thing as angels. We can't see them. So they had philosophical concepts that they watered the Bible down with. And, of course, the problem with the Pharisees is they infected Bible doctrine with religion. And so they could read the doctrines, but religion blinded their eyes. Matthew 16:6 says, "And Jesus said to them, watch out." And that is the word hora'o, which means to take heed in a panoramic situation. Hora'o is a wide view of things. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 16:12, then they, these are Jesus' disciples, understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching, and that's didache, that's what is taught, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were teaching in the cosmic system. They weren't teaching Bible doctrine. The Sadducees would teach a philosophical view of the Bible as it then existed. We have religious groups that do that today. They call themselves this, that, and the other thing. But they ignore what the Bible says, and they're more impressed with their own philosophical views, like God's the father of all, and man's the brother, and we're all brothers and stuff. That's not in the Bible. It's their philosophical interpretation of the Bible. And, of course, religion, in terms of the Pharisees, would be always this works. You work your way to heaven. You're going to help God to get saved. You've got to be good. And then if you are saved, you've got to do this and got to do that. That's not in the Bible. That's leaven. It's a perversion of the Bible from the two different categories. Point five, leaven stands for the point that a little legalism will cancel out grace. Thus, the separation from anything in the cosmic system is required. Galatians 5:9. We'll study the doctrine of separation later on. But Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven, zume, leavens the whole lump of dough here. So, you know, I'm told that if you make bread, you have the dough and you add leaven and it puffs it up, which is a good thing in terms of cooking. And if you don't, then you're going to have very flat bread. And a little leaven, I guess it doesn't take much to lump up the bread. I'm not a cook, so I don't know. I don't have experience, but maybe somebody can testify and tell me how it works. But I understand that it doesn't take very much leaven to put into the dough to make it all puff up. You just have to have a little bit. So what does that mean? Well, a little bit of religion will destroy grace. Just a little bit. And it's very subtle. Very subtle. Well, you know, yes, Christ died on the cross for your sins, but you got to have a heart belief. There's a little leaven right there. The Bible doesn't say that at all. There's no such thing as a heart belief versus a head belief. All you got to do is have some amount of faith more than none at all. That's it. That's how you're saved. There's no magical transformation or doing cartwheels or jumping up and down and crying and moaning and groaning, and my life has changed forever. Unbelievers can have their life changed forever at an Amway show or whatever it is. You know, oh, wow, my life's changed. You'll see these on commercials. I did the South Beach diet. My life's changed forever. Okay? Good for you until you break down and start eating Big Macs again, you know, in a year. But it's just a phrase. Doesn't mean anything. What will change? Your life is changed forever, and you don't even know it. You're royalty, and you don't even know it, most believers. They're royal members. They're members of the royal family of God. They have no idea. Their life is changed, but not their lifestyle. They still got the same crappy lifestyle as ever, but their life is changed in terms of being born again in union with Christ, guaranteed a resurrection body, eternal security. All those things are there. They don't realize them. And just as we see these stories about, you know, the royal, the queen has two kids and one's, you know, sent off to live with a woodcutter out in the woods, and they grow up. They don't know their royalty, but they are. And then one day they discover the birthmark on the kid. And, oh, that's the missing brother of so-and-so. He's royalty. And all of a sudden they're cast from being a peasant to a member of the royal family. And that's the same thing for believers. We're all royalty. Most of them don't realize it, and they wallow around in the mud pile all their life in the cosmic system. 4.6, all believers are unleavened when saved and should strive to be unleavened in their thinking. So you're unleavened when you're saved, which means you didn't do anything to get saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, as gifts of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast about anything. So we're unleavened when we're saved. And therefore, we should strive to be unleavened in their thinking as we're believers now. So some believers will admit, yes, I believe in Christ alone, and that's how I'm saved. But then they think the Christian way of life is to be a super moral person and to do a system of taboos. And that's not it. You're going right into leaven again. So you can accept salvation by faith alone and Christ alone. I've met some people that do that. But they think the Christian way of life is a system of taboos and morality keeping. And that's what it is. They don't know any Bible doctrine at all. So they're unleavened when they're saved, but they go right back into the leaven as a believer. So here, 1 Corinthians 5:5-7 says, look, you know, be unleavened in your thinking as a believer. So we read, I have decided, this is Paul, to deliver. And that's para didomai. And that means to give into the hands of another. Such a one. And this is a believer that was having sexual relations with his own mother. And this is just not once when he got drunk and there was mom. It was all the time. It was a consensual sexual relationship with his mother. And many Baptists would say, well, that can't be. A believer could never do that. Yeah, they can. A believer can do anything an unbeliever can do. And many times they can do it even worse than an unbeliever. So here you got a born-again believer having sex with his own mother. And Paul, of course, as the senior apostle, is delivering him over to the sin unto death. You can't lose your salvation, but you can die a horrible, miserable death on this earth, and then you will be face-to-face with the Lord when you're dead. So Paul says, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. That's the sarx. So that his human spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Sozo means to deliver, of course. This guy's saved. In the day of the Lord, of course, is the judgment seat of Christ. He'll be saved. He'll get a resurrection body. He won't probably have too many decorations on his resurrection body, but he's going to be delivered. So your flesh is going to be destroyed, the sin unto death, but you will be saved. And then he says, your boasting, kak ima, is not good. And this is some members of the congregation were boasting. And what were they boasting about? Some members of the congregation were actually, this fellow apparently had a lot of charisma, and they were like boasting that this guy was in their congregation. And Paul, of course, says even the unsaved people don't even do this, sleeping with their own mother. So you had a couple of people in the congregation that were boasting, and Paul was saying this is not good. So you could say, well, how could some members boast? I guess this guy was a wealthy person probably, and had some type of a position in the community, and they were boasting that he's in our church, but he was also sleeping with his mother at the same time. Then he says, do you not know that a little leaven, zume, leavens the whole lump of dough? And then he says, then he says, clean out, and that's ek athario, which means to clean something thoroughly, the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump. This is the dough. Just as you are, in fact, unleavened. And so he says, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. So Paul is saying, do you not know that a little leaven leavens up the whole lump? This is legalism, cancels out grace. And he says, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. So the old leaven is, of course, your position as a believer here, because he's speaking to believers, not unbelievers. So clean out your system of thinking, which is all infected with legalism and morality and all sorts of weird things. And therefore, you can be a new lump. Clean the slate. And then it says, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. So you are designed to be unleavened. A believer is designed to be unleavened. But if you allow leaven to sift into your thinking, then your lump is all messed up. So have a new lump, which has no leaven, which is a command to take in Bible doctrine. Then he adds, for Christ our Passover has also been sacrificed. Christ is the Passover. During the Passover, they had unleavened bread. And the Passover was celebrated by believers coming out of Egypt. So they were believers coming out of Egypt celebrating the Passover. They had two items. One, the lamb, and they couldn't break any bones on the lamb that they ate. And then two, the unleavened bread. And of course, this spoke to the work and the person of Christ. And that's the doctrine of leaven.